Hey, it's your girl Claudia Jordan. We're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and social media. So sit back, relax, grab you something to drink, and get ready to sip on this hot tea. Please welcome Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's going on, Claudia?
I am good. I am good. Enjoying this fine day. And what's up, Armand?
What's going on, everybody?
We
What's
are.
up, Armand?
Everybody
I'm
feeling good
chilling.
today on this Wednesday? Everybody feeling good? Hump
I'm feeling
day?
fantastic. I'm ready. It's hump day, baby. I'm ready to get into some things.
We shall. All right. Is anybody drinking today? What are we doing?
I'm drinking water.
It's giving water for me. I actually don't even have a drink. Wasn't even able to make one, so no drink for me today.
Same. Okay. This is going to be a sober show. So let's see how
Yes.
that goes. Sorry in advance, soulmates.
We
All
can't drink
right.
every day.
We absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right, let's get into the show. It's been reported that Diddy hired Ghislaine Maxwell's former attorney, Bobby Sternheim, to help fight his against his sexual allegations case. Now, for those who do not know, Ghislaine was found guilty of helping Jeffrey Epstein execute his sex crimes. What are your thoughts? And do you think this was a smart decision, or is it bringing a lot of attention to Diddy's case? Al, what do you think about this?
This is what I think. I'm not sure if this is a good choice or not because we see where, it landed Ghislaine, right? Let's say Ghislaine. She landed her 20 years in prison. Maybe this is just a strategy to minimize his sentence or, what could possibly happen to him. But in my opinion, Claudia, will it really matter? Because in public opinion, I think Diddy, people pretty much have made up their mind about Diddy and all of these sexual allegations and abuse. So even if he gets off legally, I think in public opinion, he is still guilty.
I definitely think he's cooked as well. Okay. Armand, what do you think?
I feel like he's asking for a one-way ticket to prison. I feel like this lawyer has had high-profile cases, and they both ended up with the people going to jail. Even she was the lawyer for what Osama bin Laden, aide too, and the guy went to jail. So I mean, I feel like Diddy is asking to go to jail, especially when it comes to like the sexual assault stuff. Like he's guilty, and it's proven. So I feel like he's gonna end up going to jail, guys. Because yeah.
I guess we have to say allegedly, right? Because
Oh,
he was.
allegedly, allegedly.
It does always amaze me when people hire lawyers that continue to lose. Like you might as well
Yeah.
hire an old girl from Atlanta Housewives. Like at this point, like I just don't understand. Like I would want the Johnny Cochran of lawyers that gets people out that we know work.
Yeah.
You're like, no, that's a good lawyer, not the one that keeps losing those big cases. All right, Diddy, we will stay tuned and see how it all turns out for you, but I know your name is trash in these streets. All right, President Biden's family dog, Commander, has been removed from the White House after being part of 24 biting incidents with Secret Service, and that's not including the times he chomped on members of the White House. Now, based on reports, Commander bit agents on their arms, hands, legs, and even their waist. What are your thoughts on this rowdy dog? I don't like those kind of little police-looking dogs. I do not like those. I'm sorry. Armand, what do you think about this? Do you have a dog? Are you a dog owner?
I have two dogs, but these kind of dogs scare me. I don't like these kind of dogs either. And I feel like they should be paying for this stuff. You know what I mean? This is a little nerve-wracking to be bit up by a dog at work. Okay, so I'm not comfortable with it. I'm scared of those dogs. I don't even like them in the airport. I don't like them dogs around me at any place. And they're strong and fast and they jump. I don't like them.
And then I've been cute. I'm sorry. I have a bias against these dogs. They're not even cute. Al, what do you think about this? 24 biting
Man,
incidents.
come on, y'all. That's a German Shepherd. I grew up with German Shepherds, so I'm guess I'm biased against these dogs. They're the most loyal. They're protective. They're definitely a secure, for to secure your home. But in this case, this is dangerous. In fact, this needs to be where's the outrage segment because this dog sent 11 people of the 25 to the hospital. And we know that if your dog is biting people and they become a public safety issue because they're sending people to the hospital, the dog actually can be ordered by the court to be euthanized. And I don't understand how this dog can bite 25 people, send 11 to the hospital, and nothing happens to them. This is very interesting. Seems preferential treatment to me.
I mean, the one point is, but what if the dog is trained to protect the president and it's people that was getting too close? But shouldn't the dog be trained to know that Secret Service is part of the team? Like this dog seems like it's just kind of just going out on his own. It's kind of doing what he wants to do. I'm not a fan, but 24 incidents or 25, if that was any other person's dog, that dog would have been put down.
What they were saying, the way that you get the dog to back off you is if you stand straight up and yell at it. I'm not going straight up, head up with that dog. They saying you got to go look at it and then yell at it and tell it to stand down and it'll turn around and, you know, sniff some bushes somewhere. I'm getting the hell out of there.
We had a dog.
I'm not talking to the dog.
We had a dog growing up and we lived in a mostly white neighborhood and we were the only black family in the neighborhood. And our dog bit one white boy on his back and all of a sudden our dog was gone, right? And my mother for years was like, oh, we had to put it on a farm and let it give it more room. You know, they killed that dog immediately. Like it was one time, one and done. That's it. But okay, President Biden's dog commander gets a pass. Mm-hmm. All right. I know you guys are tired of talking about a strange couple, Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan. But now that they're back together, Larsa is regretting that she deleted their photos from social media. She said, I feel like I was very emotional. I wish I didn't delete those photos. She added, I couldn't archive them. I just deleted them. I was just emotional and impulsive. I guess I'm a Cancer, so I'm an emotional person. So I feel like if you're not loving me the right way, I can distance myself and catch a beat. What are your thoughts? And do you guys delete your photos of your exes and then get back with them? Or how do y'all handle that? Al, let me go to you first on this. What do you think?
Man, it's been so long, Claudia. I couldn't tell you. let's see. I think I would archive it. Would I delete it? I guess that's a good question. It depends on how the relationship ended. Now, this one is interesting, though, because they have a podcast together. They do reality TV together. So, like, what is she actually doing? Unfortunately for me, and I've said this before with this couple, I just feel like a lot that they do and how they move in the media is done for a storyline or to create more buzz around them as a couple. And just in general, I don't like when couples do this on social media, delete each other out, put them back, dating, not dating. So I don't know, Larsa. To me, you're just a tad bit too old for this type of behavior.
All right, Armand, what do you think? Do you delete your photos when you break up with someone or no?
I don't know. I kind of feel like, you know, I first of all, I respect her for being honest because I think a lot of us do things that are impulsive like that when we get in our feelings, especially if you really care about a person. Like I've done it and I've regretted, like, damn, I probably shouldn't have deleted that photo because, you know, we're back cool, we're back talking and I need that photo again. But sometimes when you're in your feelings, you know, you just start doing stuff because you're not thinking the right way. So I've definitely been there before and I understand where she's at with that. So I feel her on that.
I wish she would have archived, especially when it's like a recent breakup, but it's too fresh, you know, like maybe when time goes by. A fun fact, I've never deleted any ex from my social media because I'm not just going to post anybody. So if I do, they were special at that time. And even if I do not despise them right now, they were a part of my story and I'm pretty transparent about the good and the bad. I mean, I have my short-lived marriage that was only like a few months. I still have those pictures on my Facebook. It's not that I'm holding on to it, but it is a part of who I am and why I, you know, am the way I am. It's just part of my story. I just feel like you can't just show the good.
You know? Wait, hold on. Let me ask you. So you keep the pictures of the guy on your page or you leave them archived?
They're so far down because I post so much. Like I don't even know how to even get to them, but I have albums still on my pages of that time in my life in 2009 or 2000.
Wow. Oh, no. Absolutely
can we see
not.
It?
Absolutely
can
not.
Can you show it here on Foxhole?
Absolutely not. But you can go.
So if you have a man, a new guy, and he goes through because I don't know about you guys, but when I'm dating somebody or courting somebody, I'm digging all through their social media. I'm looking at it all. So at some point, I might run into the ex, you know, but if we get serious, you then remove that stuff, right? Right. You keep those there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I do because it's part of my story. And at one, eventually you're going to probably be my ex. 99% of relationships. And like you've broken up with 100% of people you've been with before this guy. Right. So it's like at some point, I just feel like you just discard these people. Like they just didn't matter in your life. They all meant something to me. They played a part in my life and how I think. I'm not going to have like any like lovey dovey, like kissing on the mouth photos and stuff like that. But I tend to just leave it as part of my story. And I also don't demand for someone to delete someone before me because eventually I'm going to be in that place. And I hope that I'm not just so easily forgotten. Like I was with you for 5 years. I'm just going to delete you because I'm dating this new girl for 3 months. Wow. I don't know. But I'm very mature when it comes to relationships. I'm still really good friends with my ex. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not impulsive like that. But hey, to each their own. Keep it locked because coming up next, final if we would fight or flight in crazy air travel scenarios. And later, Tracee Ellis Ross gets candid about her career. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all, we see so many stories about passengers acting up on flights. So we're going to take a deeper look at airline passenger behavior in fight or flight. All right, first up, a flight attendant was not here for a passenger's shenanigans after he allegedly calls a female passenger a bitch. Check this out.
Don't sugar it up now because you call her a bitch. She had nothing to do with you sitting here, her feet. Nothing to do with. So she's supposed to sit here while you verbally insulting her and be okay with that. No, you're gone. Goodbye. Step off the plane.
I'll do a good time.
I don't know. You're going to have to figure that out. But figure out how to handle yourself as an adult while you're at it. Goodbye.
You have some good deal for that.
Goodbye. Thank you.
All right, now this man was reportedly sitting in the woman's seat and called her a bitch when he was asked to go back to his correct seat. What are your thoughts on this mess? And would you fight or flight in this situation, Armand?
I would have went off. Absolutely. I totally agree. He should have been kicked off the plane. Here's the thing. I feel like I used to work in customer service jobs, and customers are so nasty. They're so entitled. They're so rude and they're so ignorant. And then there's also specific types of customers. They have certain bills. They have a certain look and they're very entitled, you know? And so at some point you have to check them because they start acting really, really crazy, especially on planes and stuff. So I totally agree. You're not going to call me out of my name. You're not going to call me a B. And I'm glad that they had a nice zesty gay boy up there to let him know this is not the flight for you. Sometimes you need a good queen up there to put a girl in their place. So I love to see it. I'm happy for it. Get them on out of there.
Okay, Al, what do you think? What do you do? Fight or flight?
I guess of what? Would I fight or would I flight? Who am I fighting and flighting? The situation, I guess I would separate myself from the situation. Let me tell you something. These flights are too expensive. The seats are too small and the planes are too old. They've fallen apart. We see it every week online and in the news for this type of behavior to be occurring on the planes. I promise you, it just seems to me that the plane is becoming as stressful as the bus depot.
Planes are giving like Jerry Springer now. It seems like that's what people are choosing to act up, go viral, have their moment. We all know how to behave on a damn plane. Like, relax. If you're in someone's seat, listen, we've all tried to like sit a little closer, maybe take an aisle or a window when we didn't have it. But then when your person comes up and says, excuse me, that's my seat, you got to move your little behind along and don't get irate because you got busted. It's your fault. And the flight attendant, I like how we handle them. Like, you know, you ain't about to disrupt this flight. There's people on flights that have never flown before, that have major anxiety, that have to take medication just to fly. People got pets on the plane that are on drugs so they can become. We don't need anything elevated to like make the experience worse than it is. You got busted being in the wrong seat. Take your little dumbass off the plane and figure it out and learn how to have some couth about yourself. Where is the couth? You know, we got, where's the outrage? No, where is the couth? Because it is
missing.
There is
no couth.
Well, the thing is, you're getting all these people from different walks of life. And so you have them all on this one plane and have to sit next to each other. So everybody ain't raised the same. So some of these people are just trashy, nasty individuals and rude. And so they need to be put in their place because you can't just go around talking to people out of your neck.
No one. Also, to be honest with you, some of them can't read. They don't know their numbers.
Yeah, yes,
so he definitely looked like one of those that can't read.
That's right. There is a lot of that. And I'm throwing some alcohol, too, because there are a lot of drunk people on the planes these days. Peeing on people, doing all kinds of madness. All right. In other news, a passenger threatened to take over a plane. Take a look.
Well, tell them to bring SWAT to shoot me down because they're going to have to shoot me down today. Remember that. Where are they diverting us? Because wherever it is, there's got to be a bloodbath everywhere. You can run away. You can all run away if you want. If you're men, you can run. I won't kill you. I'm Balthazar. Put up your hands and don't kill me.
Once again, it's giving very much Jerry Springer. Would y'all fight or flight if someone made you feel threatened on a flight? Because, you know, we've seen people take over a plane before and people said, if that was me, I would be taking these people out. What do you think, Al, about this situation?
Was it, well, for me, it would be, you had the plane taken off yet.
Right.
Maybe the plane was already in the air. Is that why they didn't escort this particular person off? If the plane had already taken off, I think in this case, I would fight for real, because you don't know these days. I mean, after 9/11, I'm convinced that once somebody pops up like that and does something really crazy like that, you got to take them down before they take the plane down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great point. Because looking back, it's like, oh, we could have, should have, would have. They had these little boxes.
Yeah.
Armand, what are you doing in this situation?
Well, absolutely would have fought, because at this point, he had already been trying to open up the exit doors. The plane had been in the air for about 45 minutes. He had stabbed one of the flight attendants with a broken spoon. And so a bunch of men ended up jumping on him. So at that point, I probably would have got my lick in there too, because listen, you're going to die anyway, possibly. So you better fight for your life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I'd have probably went in there and tried to kill that mother. You know what I'm saying? I probably would have. Yeah, I would have fought for sure.
Agreed. Agreed. It's just too easy to cause damage and murder death to too many other people. And we're not going down because someone didn't want to like put this guy in a chokehold. So tie him up. Right. Tape. Remember that one incident on the plane? They tie people.
They taped them to the seat.
Yeah, that I like that one. All right. Another rude passenger struck a flight attendant in the back of the head for no apparent reason. Check it out.
That is crazy.
Okay, what do y'all do if you see this, Armand?
Well, if I see this, I'm falling out. Now, if I'm the flight attendant, I'm losing my job. You get what I'm saying? Now, if I see it, if I as a passenger, I'm crying, laughing, and I'm filming it, because that's the key. You know, it's ignorant, but I'm cracking up. Now, if I'm that flight attendant, I'm fired that day. It's over, because we fighting for sure.
And that flight attendant should not be fired if they retaliate to that. It's on camera and we have evidence and we have witnesses. Al, what you doing?
That just looks, I would definitely be fighting. I would be fighting as a passenger. I would be fighting as a flight attendant. You know, luckily American Airlines did put him on the do not fly list and banned him from flying anymore on their airline. So, you know, to me, add that to some criminal charges and we're good to go.
What is wrong with people? I remember taking flights back in the day and they would give you food, not just in first class. People relax, they watch a movie, bring them TVs. Now the planes, half of them don't even have screens anymore to watch TV. I think people are just bored and crazy and they got nothing to do, so they just wilding out on these planes. All right, keep it locked, because coming up next, Tracee Ellis Ross opens up about her career. And later, a former Nickelodeon star is calling out the network. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, during a recent interview, Tracee Ellis Ross opened up about being dropped by her former agent when the bookings came to a cease after her starring role on Girlfriends. Tracee said, "The woman, the agent said to me, 'You just don't pop.' She said, 'You come with all these things, these bells, these whistles, you're pretty, your mom's famous, you have good style. But then you get in the room and nothing happens. So we're going to drop you.' I mean, I carried that punch for so long." What are your thoughts, and have y'all ever experienced anything like this similar in your career? Al, what do you think about this?
This was devastating. Can you imagine your agent talking to you like that? That's the person that's supposed to be one of your biggest fans, like your biggest advocate. They're supposed to be on the phone every day booking you work and can convincing people to create roles for you. I do love the fact that Tracee Ellis Ross was very transparent about it and talked about it, because we do look at her like she's a celebrity's daughter and nepotism, and that she probably didn't have to work it as hard. But I know for a fact that this agent feels like an idiot now, because Tracee Ellis has evolved as like one of the best actors of our time. I mean, she's just so good and she's brilliant and she's versatile. I mean, but that definitely had to be a hard blow, especially coming off the heels of Girlfriends, which was a very nice show. In fact, I'm watching it right now on Netflix. I'm been watching it. I'm in season 4 and I'm really enjoying it.
All right, Armand, what do you think about this and this agent's shade towards her own client?
Yeah, I'm actually not surprised by this, because like just growing up, you always hear these stories about how people talk to you in Hollywood and how you have to have tough skin. So it seems like everyone has this story of where people have told them that they're not good enough or that they're not popping or they're not worthy. And those usually end up being the biggest stars. So to me, this it seemed like, you know, you need this type of story in order to get to the next level. So, you know, I'm actually here for it because I feel like this is a confidence builder, even though it can tear you down. You know, it can make you really feel bad about yourself, but you have to have mind over matter to overcome these kind of things. And if you're able to do so, you're able to be really, really successful. So I believe that we all kind of need moments like this from time to time, just so that we can get back to where we need to be and be successful. So yeah, it's happened to me before too. You know, I went to school and a guy told me that I would be nothing more than a reality TV star when I wanted to be an actor. So I'm still working my way to prove him wrong on that one.
I wonder how that agent felt seeing, okay, Girlfriends got canceled, but let's be clear. It would very much was not because Tracee Ellis Ross did not pop. Okay. Right. It was a casualty of Black TV shows being taken off the air. She was very good in that show. And then to come back with Blackish years later, which was a humongous hit. So much so he used to get under former President Trump's skin all the time. He hated the show and she's beloved. I just think these agents can frame things in a better way. You can tell someone the same thing and just say it in a way that's not just such a gut punch.
Right, right.
Because this kind of business is 99% about your confidence in yourself. I mean, think about it. We're all kind of delusional to choose a career that 95% of the time the answer is no. Things don't last that long. There's so much behind the scenes shenanigans going on and nepotism and all kind of stuff and favors and then vendettas. That's what this business is about. It's also about people don't get jobs sometimes because you remind them of someone. I've heard like directors not casting the best woman for a role because she's great, but she reminds me of my ex. It's stuff that you can't even control. And you're going out there doing the best you can do. And then it's these forces, these powers that be that get in the way. So it's like, you have to deal with that. Then on top of that, your number one cheerleader, your agent tells you don't pop. I'm sure that stayed in her head for a while, but yeah, Armand, there was this argument to be made that probably made her a stronger person. If you have the strength to get over that. And clearly she did. And it worked out for her.
The strongest and the fittest will survive. You can't be weak in this business because people are going to always tell you what you aren't before they tell you what you are. So, you know, I feel like it's necessary. You got to have strong. You got to be strong in this business and you need to be broken down from time to time. You have to be able to take it because in the real world, people don't care about your feelings. No one cares about you. Everybody's looking for their next opportunity, their next come up, and their next meal ticket. So I don't have time. This business is about hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait. Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? You got to just understand that's what comes with it.
So oh, it does. Is. I just think it shouldn't come from your team.
Your agent.
Like, no, right, I get right. It. Like fans.
Of all people.
Your team is like the team.
Okay. I think it should come from the team, though, because that's the people that you trust. You see, this is the problem with a lot of people. They want a bunch of people around them telling them, yes, 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 you're beautiful. You're great. You're great. No, somebody needs to tell you, listen, baby, you ain't popping. You don't look that great today. You walk in a room. Yeah, you're beautiful. You're fabulous. You got a rich mom. But you are not a star. Somebody needs to tell you that, and then you can pull it together. Because a lot of times, I think we want everybody in our circle to say, you're fabulous. You look amazing. You look great. Girl, today, you don't look that good.
I don't think that. I don't agree with
that.
I don't think you should have a bunch of yes people on you. I just don't think you should have people that are your number one and your number two down, especially when you have other things that are coming up. I just think there's a way to say things. I could say, Armand, I hate that jacket. I could say, a darker color would be better for you. It's your delivery. You know what I mean? I don't know. But if you want me to be harsh, I can. But I prefer to be, I don't know. We got enough ego.
I think it's also the relationship too. Like, you know,
absolutely.
If me and you are cool like that, I can be like, I don't like that. I hate that. But if we're, you know, an agent to me, I feel like, come hard at me. Just black and white. I don't need the,
all right,
I love, I don't really like this.
All right. I'm a vet. I'm just saying. Switching gears, actor John Cena announced that he is on OnlyFans and wrote, like you've never seen me before. Now, the star recently got some naked exposure at the Oscars. So this may be up his alley. Are y'all here for this? And who would y'all like to see on OnlyFans? Let's start with Al.
Hey, yeah. We got to think about it. Now, OnlyFans, when it first was created, was made to promote content creators who had podcasts and stuff like that. So I think it's smart for them to transition it back to what its original purpose was. And I think it's brilliant to market a movie in a different way that people aren't used to, especially off of the heels of that huge, you know, nude appearance on the world's largest, or, you know, the biggest stage in entertainment. Let's see, who would I want to see on OnlyFans? I think I would like to see Halle Berry in like her feet or something like that. Like, to me, she's just the epitome of beautiful. I grew up watching her, admiring her. So yeah, I would like to see more intimate stuff, not sexual, but more intimate details about her on OnlyFans.
So would you subscribe? Would you pay the monthly fee if she had one?
I think I probably would for a little while. Yeah, yeah, that's how obsessed I am.
I think she's drop dead. I think she has the perfect face. I think she's gorgeous. Yeah. I've always loved her. Armand, who are you trying to see on OnlyFans? What do you think about this?
The John Cena stuff, I think, is great marketing. I think it makes sense coming off the heels of the Oscars. I'm not really interested, so it's not something that I would necessarily subscribe to, but I get it. Now, as far as something that I would subscribe to, I definitely would need to see a Lil Nas X OnlyFans. He probably can get my subscription, you know, at least one time. But then once I feel like, well, depending on what the content is given, that might be the end of that. Because, you know, on OnlyFans, they be tricking you on there, shall
we? What do you want to see from Lil Nas
X? I need to see it all.
Doesn't he already give it all?
Here's the thing. Lil Nas X be talking that cash. He be talking that cash, and he be really trying to turn it up. And he be, you know, he got the body. He be talking that slick talk. So I'm trying to see if it's adding up.
What is adding up?
I can't say certain words. I'm trying to see if it's adding up. I'm trying to see if he a freak like he talk.
Oh, okay.
Are you a freaky? I want to see the front. I want to see the back. Yes. Why not? Take it off.
I don't want to see anybody on there on OnlyFans. I struggle with this one. So mine is going to be a more political take on this. I would like to see Donald Trump on there. And this is why. Go ahead. Not because I want to see him any sexual way. I am just sick of him grifting the country with getting everybody to pay his bills with these stupid sneakers, these dumbass products that nobody wants. Go ahead and bust it wide open on your OnlyFans and get the money from that to pay your legal bills, and stop making the average American do that. Let your little delusional fans pay your bills.
Did you say bust it open?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just almost lost my breakfast.
Donald Trump on OnlyFans. Like, what would he show on OnlyFans?
What would it look like?
You know what he could show? He could show that he doesn't wear a diaper, or that he does, because that's been a rumor about him allegedly. He could run his fingers through his hair so you can see that it's real or not.
But the crazy part is he'd probably make a lot of money.
He would. Think about it. Wipe his face and be like, I'm not orange, or I really am orange. Like, I would want to see that. You know, all that kind of stuff. Let's see him without his makeup. I don't know. Yeah. He can show, under the toupee, or if there is one. I just think that, instead of the way he's going about making money, I would be entertained by that. All right. Don't judge me. The subways in New York are full of crazy surprises, but in this case, it involved a musician who was attacked by a random lady. Take a look. Now, the governor of New York reportedly sent the National Guard to the subways to crack down on crimes in this area. What are your thoughts on this craziness? And do you think more police patrolling will combat crimes in the subways? Armand, you are cracking up.
Let
me get your thoughts. What do you think?
I can't. That is... She was fed up. Listen, I'm not even going to hold you. I feel her on this, because sometimes I didn't ask for this. I'm trying to get where I'm going. I don't want to hear this every day. We don't know if that man has been doing that every day, driving people crazy. And sometimes you know you've been walking down the street and you just wish a person would just shut up and stop that. And so I think, you know, she probably was not having it today, and she was fed up, and she needed that to stop. And you know what? She put a stop to it that day. And I'm here for it, because I've been there before where I'm like, I don't want to hear this. This is unwarranted, and this is a waste of my time, and it's too loud, and I wish I could grab something and hit you over the back of the head with, and she actually did so. So I'm here for it. That's funny. That's funny for sure.
Well,
I think Armand needs to take anger management classes or something. It's a violin. It's a violin. They're playing comfortable music. I lived in New York for 23 years, and the entertainers on the subway, they get you through your day, especially because it's a very impact city, high impact city. So you're not even going to be around that player like more than like maybe 30 seconds because you're going somewhere. So it's like, for me, I've always admired them and liked it because it does soften your day, because you're up and down, off the train, up the steps, down the steps, tons of people around. You got to get somewhere. You got to be on time. You got to catch a train. So it just kind of soothes the process for me. Now, for her to pick up something and physically abuse him, nah, babe, that would fight or flight. I would have been fighting. That violin stick would have been up her, you know what?
Yeah, Armand, what if we did our show live somewhere and someone was sick of us and they just and hit us in the head and said, I'm sick of y'all talking about celebrities all the time. That person is still expressing their art. I will say this, as someone that lived in New York as well, it's usually really talented people, because New York would not really be able to, they wouldn't tolerate if you were bad. So if you have the audacity to play in those subway stations, they're usually really gifted people that you think, why are they not somewhere else? Because like, there's a lot of really good plays down there. So and I got to agree. You only pass by them for like, you're not even around them that long. So damn, Armand, are you okay?
But the thing is, he's been attacked twice. So clearly people are not here for this. They're tired of it. So
they think like you, me.
Exactly.
Listen, everybody don't want to hear that. Everybody don't want to hear that every day. They walking down their same route to get on the train. They had a bad day. They got a lot going on. They don't want to hear that every day. Stop and take some days off.
Do you know that in the New York subway, you either going to get that or you're going to get some people yelling and screaming and fighting. You're going to get homeless people like doing crazy stuff. Man. I would rather hear a nice selection by a talented artist than to hear all the other stuff.
Armand, have you been on the subways in New York yet?
I have not. No, I have. I have been on the subway in New York. Yes.
Okay.
But I didn't see any of that though.
So when you go there, like, people have been raped on stairs. There's been rats crawling over people's feet. People get thrown into the subway tracks. People get robbed. A violin is the least.
I'm just saying, it just seems, I mean, I probably wouldn't do it, but it seems as though she was sped up. She was sped up. She was sped up. And she had
enough.
She's
about a different way to get where she's going.
Yeah, well, I'm fed up with this segment, so we're going to keep it off. Coming up next, an inmate creates a viral proposal. And later, Wayne Brady is clearing up any confusion regarding his sexuality. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all, and feel good news. An inmate went viral after proposing to his girlfriend while locked up. Now, the bride-to-be posted the video with the caption, "You've done more for me behind them bars than anybody on the streets. You're the definition of making it happen, the most selfless person I know." What are your thoughts on this proposal, Armand? What do you think?
Listen, I'm mad at her because, listen, I haven't had nobody even put out like a something like that for me. And I haven't had nobody in jail. So for him to come together and put together a proposal like that, so elaborate like that and make her feel good, I'm here for it. I would just like to know, how long is he in jail for? You know, we didn't really get that information. So I think that's something that I would like to know.
Okay, Al, what do you think about this?
You know, I was thinking, let me find out. The inmates are the ones that be acting right. You know, this is kind of interesting to me. Like, he did more from prison than most men do on the outside. So it's like, hey, all right, let me see. I hope she said yes, though, because that was absolutely, I can imagine all the coordination. That was just absolutely beautiful for me. I like Black love.
Now, although prison love isn't for me, I will say this. When I was a model on The Price is Right, we would get a lot of prison mail for some reason. And that show just attracts. I think that's one of the shows they're allowed to watch every day. And that's almost porn for them, because they get to see girls in bathing suits, I guess, back in the 90s. And they put the most effort, and like, they would write these beautiful letters and draw like these very detailed, you know, angels and the poetry. They have a lot of time. I think that's beautiful. You know, they have a lot of time to be thoughtful and not a lot of distractions. You know, I hate that it takes incarceration to make some of these men.
No, I feel you, because then the minute they get out, all that goes out the window, because then they're distracted again.
Yeah, you saw with the Life After Lockup girl, that couple with the big girl and the small guy, how he started smelling himself when he got out. But that is beautiful. And hopefully it's not like a he's not doing life. He's locking her down where she can't be with anyone. Hopefully it's someone that, you know, he's getting out soon. And he won't switch up when he gets out, because that was actually really nice. All right, a new docuseries called Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, exposed some of the deepest and darker secrets of what took place behind the scenes at Nickelodeon Studios. Now, one incident involved child actor at the time, Brian Hearn, who appeared on 16 episodes of the show All That. Now, Brian recalled the time an adult on set called him a piece of charcoal. He also mentioned the stereotypical roles he would play, like a drug dealer, a rapper called Lil Fetus, which involved him wearing a flesh-toned leotard. What are your thoughts on these stories, Al? What do you think about this?
You know what? I actually like it. I like the fact that he's exposing what I'm sure many people, many actors and actresses have been experiencing for years, if not decades. And, you know, the thing, the sad part is you can't really say anything in Hollywood because you're afraid that you're not going to get another job or you might get blackballed. So can you imagine the frustration of this type of not only discrimination, like racially, but also colorism? And colorism, you know, in Hollywood is a big deal.
All right. Yeah. Armand, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because here's the thing. I just feel like even with actors and reality TV, like things that people were able to get away with years ago, like you could never get away with it now. So things that maybe we wouldn't even have thought were offensive are actually offensive now. So I think that people are now more enlightened and they're realizing, hey, I wasn't being treated right. Hey, I was being talked to in a very derogatory way. Hey, I was being, you know, people were talking to me like with colorism statements. So I think that now people are waking up and realizing that they were not treated fairly during that time. So I think it's great that we're talking, having these conversations and talking about it.
I think it sucks that it's one of those jobs where you don't really feel like the security of having an HR department to go to, because like, what is that in Hollywood? Okay, go to HR if you want to, you'll never work again.
Right.
And people are scared to kind of do the right thing and stand on business and take legal action against these people because they think they'll never work again. But you will, and you can, especially if you're on the right side of history. I promise you that. There is life on the other side of doing what's right, especially if you feel like you were really done dirty and you have to stand up for yourself. And, you know, don't worry about people calling you problematic. They're going to call you problematic anyways because you didn't go along with the BS. But I think there was never a time in society where an adult should have thought it was okay to call a little black boy my little piece of charcoal. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like some things I get, like there was cultural things that we would say that we've evolved, right? Mm. But ever in history, do you think it was ever cool to say my little piece of chocolate to a little kid, a child, mind you, you know, some of these adults are really out of pocket and they are just drunk with power and not cute. So I'm glad he's telling us.
I was not to cut you off, but I remember there was one time I was in a meeting and, you know, I was trying to like get on TV or, you know, I wanted to have a talk show. And the guy literally told me, he said, the only way that you will be able to be successful, and he was black. Dark skin. He said, the thing is, you're dark skinned and you're flamboyantly gay. So he said, the only way you will be successful is if you wear a wig and lipstick and high heels. And he mentioned like Derek J or Miss Lawrence. And then in my mind, I was like, I will never wear a wig and nails and lipstick ever in my life, in my entire career from that moment forward. But that is what people used to tell me, because you're dark skinned and you're gay, you have to be overly flamboyant and then, you know, lust after straight men.
Well, and there's something to it, right? Because when you see all the portrayal of the young gay men that are on TV, a lot of them are carrying purses, wear makeup, nails, heels. So, you know,
that's why I don't do it. You want,
that's I mean, why I like to give credit to and spotlight the ones that don't do that. And let me go ahead and say, shout out someone that I saw, ran into this weekend, wildly successful, that we started on the show together. And he has blown up and is an Emmy award winning black male gay talk show who's unapologetically gay. Karamo Brown, I salute you. You never did any of that. And you are, second season of your show going on? Like, he is wildly successful. I just saw him this weekend. And I'm proud of him because I think the one stereotypical view they have of what a gay man's supposed to be is just ridiculous. It's just like the spectrum of blackness is all different colors. I believe there's a spectrum with the community as well, right? There's not one personality that's supposed to just describe all of you. And I hate that they try to tell you to do stuff like that, Armand, because Really? You know, it's sick. Is it their fetish? What is it? What's going on?
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, well, screw them. A popular educator on TikTok released an apology after social media users accused him of getting frustrated with his middle school students for not knowing their shapes. Here's a look at the clip that led to the apology.
So basically what we're saying is nobody in this class has an understanding of shapes. I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 33. 5 out of 33 have a concept of shapes.
And here's the apology that was released. Take a look.
So first things first, I want to go ahead and apologize. Yes. Ooh, not apologies. You can't never tell somebody how you made them feel. You know what I'm saying? So if my tone and how I was talking made you feel a type of way, I do apologize for how I made you feel. That was never my intention. My intention is never to be condescending and rude.
All right, what are your thoughts? And do you think these teachers should stop recording themselves in the classroom? Al, you're an educator, so let's go to you first.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's a great idea to record this type of situation. But, you know, and on this other side of that, he's exposing a deep, deep issue that is happening in public schools, and especially with our African-American students. You cannot be 13 and 14 and 15 years old and don't know the difference between a circle, a rectangle, and a square. It is absolutely unacceptable. You should have been learning that in, like, kindergarten, first grade, at maximum you should be leaning into the second grade trying to figure those shapes out. Now, I did like how the superintendent of the school did support him, because there was a whole petition going around to have him actually fired. And the superintendent say, listen, he actually is shining light on an issue that needs to be addressed in this jurisdiction. And on top of that, he didn't show any of the kids' faces, so there was no breach in any type of, like, what would you call that? Confidentiality of any sorts. So in my opinion, as an educator, sometimes you have to ring the alarm. And this young teacher rung that alarm.
All right. Armand, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with him. You know, I feel like these kids, first of all, he had already taught the lesson. So he's also going to show that these people are not paying attention. Like, no one is listening. Only a small portion of the class is actually listening. The problem is, I think that because he's a gay guy and he's a little zesty and sassy, his tone gets misinterpreted as being condescending and rude. And I can identify with him because that happens to me a lot. People will see me talk, they'll hear my tone, and they immediately write me off as being rude, sassy, you know, messy, dramatic. And honestly, that's just his personality. And so I don't think he was doing anything to talk down to the kids. That's who he was. You could even see it in his apology. He's like, ooh, not an apology. That's his personality. But I think that people like to use colorful gay men and their personality, and they try to use that as a weapon against them when they don't like something about them. So I stand with him, and I understand it.
I didn't see him as zesty or doing too much. I actually agree with what he said, and I don't even think he should have had to apologize. Right. But also, I'm old school, and I'm a fan of tough love, when especially when it comes to education, is going to help you. There is no reason on earth that you should be that old and be that slow.
Right.
And that behind the eight ball. I'm just going to say it. My brother's a teacher, and he tells me stories about stuff, and he teaches kids with emotional issues. Like, you know, not, I won't call it special ed, but he teaches kids with emotional issues. And I just feel like, I think our society has gotten so soft with giving everybody a participation trophy where we can't even call a spade a spade. We can't even say, look, you're behind and you need to catch up. There is no reason why 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds do not know what a circle and a square is. Mm. But you can get on a computer or an iPhone and edit all kinds of videos. Like, you choose where you put your attention. And I'm sorry, the kids today are definitely behind the kids of yesteryear. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I can sound just like my parents right now. But there's a big difference. Like, we would go outside. We would read books. We would actually look at paper books and not just be scrolling and playing games on our phones. And there is a huge difference. We are like 18th in the world now in education. 18th, maybe even lower. Like, we are not where we used to be. And that is embarrassing. And I feel like, I'm glad I'm not a teacher, because I would have been much harsher than that. And I would not have recorded the lesson, actually, because I would have been All right, keep it locked, because coming up next, Wayne Brady sets the record straight about his identity. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, Wayne Brady is clearing up any confusion that people may have about him identifying as pansexual. Wayne told People, I think the biggest misconception, and I even make a joke about it on stage tonight, is that people think that you're an indecisive bisexual. And he added, what the definition basically boils down to is regardless of gender, regardless. So that means that I'm happily free to fall in love with anybody here. If you're gay, if you're straight, if you're non-binary, trans, I don't care. What are your thoughts? Armand, let's go to you first.
I don't know. I just feel like sometimes when people use the pansexual stuff, that's just a cop out to commit to being either gay or bisexual. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm open to whatever. But I feel like everybody leans towards a preference, in my opinion. So I don't know. The pansexual thing is new for me, but I just feel like it's a cop out a little bit.
Okay. Al, what do you think about this?
I think it's very interesting because when I think about Wayne Brady, I feel like that it felt like he was using pansexual to be safe because of how his status in Hollywood. I got to be honest. But if you really look at it, it hasn't affected him in any way. He's still getting all the jobs. He's still performing at the highest level. He's still brilliant. So, I mean, I wish he'd just been a little bit more really honest about it. But then again, what do I know? Listen, I'm still trying to convince people to understand bisexuality. So, you know, he's trying to get people to understand being pansexual.
Is it bad that I just don't care?
No, because I don't care either.
I don't. I don't care. Bisexual, transsexual, pansexual. You should be able to be whatever you want without having to clarify anything with us and explain anything to us and break it down and make us understand. Hey, guys, guess what? I really like men. No, I need you to really understand that. I like men. I only like men. With my flag. You know what I mean?
Except for that time in Vegas.
I was drunk. I don't even remember that night. But anyways, you know, it's just like, why are we leading with this? Wayne Brady, you are an industry vet. You are talented. This man, I seen him ad lib and just make a song on the spot and freestyle when I did the Fox Hall radio show. And he gagged all of us. Okay. We came for his neck. Please look it up one day. Wayne Brady is a beast. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be talking about how talented you are and that you're not actually a corny guy. You're actually very edgy. You know, like this stuff, I'm sorry. I just don't give it.
But to be fair, I feel like the public, we are obsessed with Black men's sexuality.
I don't care if I'm dating you.
Yeah.
We are. Like the general public, we are obsessed with knowing if a man is gay or straight. Especially like a man that's kind of in the middle, like a Wayne Brady. We want to know, like, is he gay? Is he straight? Like, he's a little zesty.
I care when I'm interested in you or if you're trying to get at me or if you're trying to put an image of a happily married man with a family man with the kids. Then I care. Other than that, live your life, do your thing, have your fun, bust it open, get busted open, have fun with ladies. I don't care. I feel like people spend too much time caring about other people's stuff. And that's why you're miserable in the comments. All right, we have an update on Elon Musk's first human trial implant experience. According to reports, the procedure was a success, and the participant now has the ability to control devices such as phones and computers just by thinking. Now, the trial started back in January when Elon implanted a chip in the participant's brain. He is so weird. Are y'all trying this out, Al? What you think? You want to control your phone from your brain?
Heck no. Too much be going on in my brain. I tell you, it'll go from computer, oven, stove. Too much be going on in my head for me to let that brain decide what's going to function or not. And plus, I'm very skeptical of this. I need to see it. I want to see it. I want to know how does it happen? How does this happen in the neuron firing? I just want to believe it right now. I need to see it with my own eyes.
I saw something with the guy's arm and how they remapped the nerve endings and the signals, which it is a little too intrusive to me. Now, if you're paralyzed in a wheelchair and there's some ways that can help you walk, okay. But I don't need this to control my phone. I'd rather just pick it up. Stop being lazy. Armand, what do you think about this? Are you here for it or not?
No, I mean, I get it for the people that can't really use the functionality of their limbs and things like that, but I need to know who and where is the master control? Because I feel like there's an alt delete button somewhere in the cloud where they can just have us all walking off of cliffs and, you know, jumping over off a bridge or somewhere, you know? So I just feel like I don't want them, the theys of the world, to have that much control over me. You know, mm-hmm. It's one thing to have the cars, but to just have complete control over my mind. No, I'm not. I'm okay with that. I'm not.
Especially
okay
lately, the last few years, we've been hearing about cyber attacks that we are there affecting our sewage system, electricity. What's to say someone can't get in there, Russia or someone that doesn't like you that wants to hack into your chip and just make you act a fool? No, sir. No, Elon, sit down with your weird self. Chris Brown posted a message for all the haters who continue to do him wrong. He simply wrote, "People who continue to do wrong by me, we'll learn the hard way." Armand, I know you're a big fan of his. What are your thoughts?
I just think keep pushing, Chris. You know what I mean? You are a star. You are an icon. You are a legend. I just think that, you know, he doesn't even have to address it anymore. Just keep pushing. The people that will like you. And the people that won't, they've already made up their mind. They're not going to like you, bro. At this point, just move on.
All right, Al.
I'm still so confused about it because you want to be liked and you want to be accepted by the majority, but you're not playing the majority politics. So it's like, if you're not going to play the politics, then don't expect to be accepted, right? I mean, Hollywood politics is real. And, you know, he's super talented. He's attractive. He's, you know, like young. He's still got so many more years to go. I don't know that talking about it all the time about haters and how the industry is doing him bad. I just don't see how he sees that that's going to help him get accepted eventually.
You know, he's an artist, so he's going to be expressive. I mean, Cardi does this a lot too. And I feel for both of them that they feel things deeply. That's why they're able to make music and have their bond, their relatability, I guess you'd say. But Chris, at this point, you're such a bigger star than these people that are talking trash about you. You are so much bigger than them. They cannot do anything wrong to you because you have a diehard fan base. And I want you to stop expressing yourself like this to the masses and just maybe talk to your friends that actually, you know, they care about you. Because the people that don't like you are going to like laugh at this and they're going to like use this against you. And I think the people that really care for you they'll be a better sounding board than strangers on social media. And I want to see you win. I think you're deeply talented. And I think if Rihanna has forgiven you, then we can forgive you as well. Now, if she didn't, then I wouldn't. But she has. So it's time for us all to move on and let this man live. All right. I want to thank my co-hosts, Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins, for joining me tonight. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Watch it again and hit that like button. Stay tuned for Foxhole Face Off, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye, fellas.
Bye.